Dr. Moore Finn is with us from the Ennis Medical Centre here on Francis Street in Ennis. Dr. Finn, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And thanks for joining us at what I presume is a very busy time.
Yes. There are no words. Yes, very busy. Phones are crazy. Now, as you know, we're trying to, all surgeries are trying to keep the footfall down as low as possible. So we actually have our doors locked. There's kind of a foyer area so people can stand in there and ring the bell and we'll go out and meet them and give them whatever they need. But we're trying to keep people out of the surgery as much as possible because I suppose the simplest way to put this is that until proven otherwise, any one of us could be carrying this virus. And that's where, that isn't to frighten people, but that's to make you aware that your personal and social responsibility is the most important part here.
But there are 70 cases of this in Ireland.
True, yes. That's
so
confirmed cases.
Why could
cases.
Any of us be...
Any increase in cases is not a failure in public health or a failure in the system. It is because this virus is going to replicate anyway, and that is a known trajectory of the virus. The problem up until now is that there was very strict criteria of who we could test. So when I was dealing with patients in the surgery or on the phone, more importantly, there may have been, you know, people who had very severe respiratory symptoms, high temperatures, flu-like symptoms. And if they were not a patient who had a known contact with a COVID-19 sufferer who was proven or had travelled abroad, we couldn't refer them for testing. And what we would do is ring public health and they'd say, listen, no, they don't fit the criteria. And they're doing their job. That's what they're meant to do. So there was a number of people that I would have spoken to who I felt clinically were suspicious and didn't fit the criteria for testing. Now, those criteria have been expanded, thankfully, because if you don't test, you're not going to have the numbers. So up until now, you know, you have Tony Hulan coming out and saying there's, what, 9 new cases and they're all associated with travel.
Yeah.
Or known contact. But that's because they're the only people who have been tested. Now that's changing, but unfortunately, the public health system is going to be completely swamped with that because there's only enough people, so many people who can test. We try to keep the testing out of surgeries or out of hospitals. So the numbers are higher. I would be very certain of that.
And if that's the case, is it also then likely that the numbers are higher?
Yeah.
But that means that it's been transmitting in the community, obviously.
Yeah, I assume so. And that is the nature of this virus. That's what's happened in any other country. Now, that's what was going to happen. It's not a failure of any system that's happened. That was what was inevitable. And this is part of the fact that they've ramped up the... we're now in the delay phase. And so the testing is really, really important. But actually, maybe not as important as getting the message out there that... if every single person thinks that they may be a vector for this or may be infected by it or may pass it on to somebody else, they will then behave responsibly. And that's the message I think we should get out there. It's not to make you really scared and panicked, but to make you a little bit more conscious of what you do. Social distancing works. We know this from, you know, we don't have a huge amount of information about this virus, but we do know that the measures they put in place in certain countries have worked, and these strict social distancing measures work. So that, and social distancing really is like that you don't spend any more than 15 minutes in close contact with somebody and you are hopefully within a distance of 2 metres apart. Now that's not always possible, but in as much as possible you should do that. Well, people who have sniffles, people who have what they call their normal flu that I get every year, anybody, just have a certain healthy level of paranoia about it. And if we do that, we'll keep other people safe.
If it's a sniffle, should you be at home?
I think you should. Yeah, I think we need to be really cautious about this. The sniffles, as you call it, could be your very mild presentation of this virus. Because, thankfully, 80% of people have very mild presentations of it. But others don't. And it's not about... you see, that's what I want to get across here. It's not just about you as an individual. It's about the wider community. And... this is hopefully an opportunity for Irish society to prove itself to be generous and thoughtful and compassionate to other people, because that's what we need to do. You know, you don't think about just yourself. You think about what the effects of this on other people. You hear people talking about it's only the vulnerable, the old. Well, what does that mean? You know, we're all potentially vulnerable, and the vulnerable that, you know, isn't exactly always something that you see. Somebody who's vulnerable doesn't have a sign over their head. So... we need, every single one of us needs to be very cautious about this. Hand hygiene, social distancing, stay out of work if you can. These are extraordinary times. There's extraordinary measures. Employers understand the situation. They don't expect people to be at work if they're unwell. In fact, they expect you not to be at work. And you don't attend a doctor or a GP surgery or the hospital or a pharmacy unless you have to. And if you do, you use those simple measures of hygiene as well. Protect people around you.
Is that message getting through to people?
I don't know. I think maybe it is, but I think maybe... I don't know if this kind of panic of the last couple of days is just a peak because people are trying to organise themselves to start social distancing. But people are being quite demanding and difficult at the moment, and it's difficult for people. I'm just talking about my own practice. There's a wonderful crowd of administrative staff in there, and doctors and nurses who are working really hard, and there's a lot of abusive calls. People are, I understand they're nervous. I understand.
Abusive.
Yeah, people are very demanding. That has been a part of Irish society for quite a while. If I shout loud enough, I'll get something done. That can't work in this situation. We all have to work together.
About
demanding a call back, or demanding that, you know, when is it going to be done? When is my prescription ready? And it's not fair. Everybody's working really hard, you know. So I'm just asking people to take a step back, think about it. We all have to be collectively responsible for this, and just assume that you might be a vector for this. You may not be unwell, but you might be. So don't put other people at risk.
Okay, and by doing that, the personal steps are, as we've been told, social isolation, hand washing. Is that it?
Hand washing, cough etiquette, don't touch your face. Social isolation is, I suppose, probably the step up from what we had been saying before. If you can stay at home, do stay at home. Our homes are our sanctuaries. And, you know, when you're at home with your family or your older parents or whatever, you know, you feel safe because you're not being exposed to other people. Any particular person you meet could be a vector for this. So I'm not trying to make people paranoid. I'm just trying to make them sensible. And if we do that, people are all talking about this flattening the curve, and that's what we're meant to do. This will spread. We know there will be more cases of this, but we don't want it to hit in a peak that puts huge pressure on the health services and on individuals. So let it spread, but let it spread slowly and keep the people around you safe.
Okay. If you think you might have it, the doctor is telling you, okay, you got to look after yourself.
Yeah.
You got a sniffles, head cold, possibly COVID-19. What are the appropriate measures in that instance?
If you think you have it, at the moment what we do, people will ring the surgery. I'm getting texts from people, phone calls from people personally and everything too. And the advice is you treat yourself symptomatically. You know, you may have it. I can't tell you if you have it or not. I can refer you to public health if we feel very suspicious that you should be checked, but they're overwhelmed, okay? I do think community testing is going to take off more, and there will be more of it done. But until then, if you think you have it, assume you might have it. And in that case, you socially isolate yourself. You take paracetamol, fluids, you mind yourself as much as you can. You deal with the symptoms as they appear. And if you become very unwell, you contact a doctor again.
When you talk about isolating yourself, do you lock yourself in the spare room and not come out?
No, you have to be practical about this too. I mean, if you're a known case, yes, the people are put into isolation. If you're a presumed case, you should to a certain extent, but I don't think you can lock yourself. You know, if you were a mother of a father with small children, how can you lock yourself in a room and not mind your children? You know, so you have to be sensible about it, but you certainly shouldn't be... Okay. Putting yourself in a position where you could pass it on to more vulnerable people or the wider population.
If you're somebody who's generally healthy, but you catch this, would you know it's COVID-19? Would you know in the way that you feel that it is different to a cold or a flu?
I don't know. I don't think anybody can tell you that. Mm. It's a new virus. Some people have very, very mild symptoms to any virus. Some people say that the symptoms are so much more respiratory that they don't get the sore throat and sniffly nose that they often get. But it's hard to say. And I think in the absence of clear evidence, I think we need to be cautious. And if you have flu-like symptoms, so temperature, and anything that could be remotely respiratory symptoms, you should assume it may be. That isn't to panic you, because you'll probably be fine, but it's to make you make sure that you are safe for the your actions are kind of responsible from a social point of view.
Are there any symptoms you will always have? Do you always get a fever?
Temperature seems to be a constant, but a temperature can be very easily masked by paracetamol, or, you know, a temperature tends to fluctuate in a normal situation too. So you may have had a temperature 2 hours ago and it has come down again and it'll go back up again. So, you know, if you were seen and tested, it may not be a true reflection of whether your temperature is a problem or not, you know. So,
Health-wise, are there any other things that you need to say? I've got a couple of questions that are kind of going beyond that.
Well, health-wise, I would say, and I mean, I feel very sorry for the pharmacists of the country as well, but people should make sure that they have their up-to-date medication. That's really important. And should anybody who is on a COPD or asthma medication, make sure they're taking it. Make sure you're looking after yourself as well as possible. Really, you know, other than that, it is about your personal responsibility for your own health, and then your responsibility for the wider community. And I that's the message I want to get out there, that we all need to help each other. And in this case, instead of like rushing to each other's aid, we need to keep away from each other.
Okay. I've got a couple of questions in. I don't know if you can answer them all. Is barrier or a barrier cream a good thing to use if we can't get hand sanitizer? Listeners wondering.
I would see no way that that would be. I don't know where that's come from. I can see that a barrier cream would actually stop you... possibly, if you touch something, it's a barrier in stopping it touching your skin. But it would also be a perfect medium for a virus or bacteria to grow on. So and it's messy.
Yeah.
I can't see that would be a good.
You're not recommending
that. It goes back to soap and water. You know, I mean, people have become obsessed with hand sanitizers. Soap and water is what you need, actually. You know, more than hand sanitizers.
It's different to a barrier cream. But I've seen a couple of shops where the people behind the tills have had gloves on, disposable gloves.
Yeah.
They're protecting themselves, I suppose. But
they are, and I understand that, and I actually don't think it's necessarily a bad idea. And it's actually probably, when you have a glove on, you're not going to be inclined to touch your face as easily. So it's a kind of a very subtle reminder to yourself. It's not protecting other people.
The gloves, and I don't know if they are. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. You know, if you were trying to protect the entire community with that, you'd have to change your gloves with every contact.
Okay.
The other thing is, you know, the surfaces should be wiped as well. So, you know, one measure isn't enough. It's all the measures. And again, it goes back to kind of keep away from people, and then therefore it's not going to be quite as big an issue.
Can we talk a little bit about people who are immunocompromised? So these are one of the at-risk groups. That's a really broad term.
It's much broader than people realise too, you see. You know, that's why I was saying that the vulnerable don't have a sign over their head. There's an awful lot of people who are on medication that immunosuppresses them because they may have autoimmune disease, and that's how we treat them. And there could be people who are undertaking cancer treatment at the moment on chemotherapy or otherwise, and many other groups. So they need to be extra cautious. They need to be extra cautious for themselves, but the people around them need to be extra cautious too. But if we get this message out that any given person could potentially be carrying a virus at any given time, then that will work. And that's not being paranoid, that's just being sensible. And you're trying to protect those who are more vulnerable around you.
Okay. For example, just on that point, I've had chemo the last 2 years. Is my immune system compromised? A texter is wondering.
It certainly was. It hopefully isn't now. But you are no more vulnerable than another person, possibly. Or, you know, it's very hard to say. We don't really know who this is affecting badly. We do know that older people with comorbidities are getting more severe disease. But they're saying anybody over 50 is vulnerable, you know. So,
okay. Somebody's asking, what kind of soap do you use? If antibacterial soap is not there, does it matter too much?
Do you know what? It doesn't. You know, even just, I mean, we bring back the old carbolic soaps, you know. Do you remember those? Lifebuoy and stuff, and the great smell of clean off them. But you know, if you're using soap and water and you're washing your hands for the right amount of time, and it's warm water, hot water, no, it really doesn't matter. Okay. And in fact, some of these antibacterial soaps are probably a bit of a cod, and this is a virus, not a bacteria anyway.
So the antibacterial soaps don't matter all that much. Yeah. Should home helps be tested? I mean, that's getting very specific.
It is getting very specific. It's a very tricky situation because they're entering people who are vulnerable's homes. They're providing an essential service. They need, if they're unwell, they need to be not in that situation, because not for themselves, for the people that they're going into. And this is a time when people will be personally put into situations that they find uncomfortable and annoying, but so be it. You know, and you have to suck it up sometimes. And we're in that position right now.
Someone's asking, what can you use instead of hand sanitizer? Soap and water. We've said that about 500 times in this program. It bears repeating. Marie is making a point. She tells me that she suffers from sinus. It makes her sniffle and cough sometimes, especially in the mornings. This is a long-running thing. But she says in the current climate, she finds it embarrassing when she does any of the above, because people understandably react with, you know, oh, Lord, and they take a step back. So I think what she's just saying, she's not blaming them, she's not cross, but she says that she wish people realise that you can cough and sneeze and not have the coronavirus. In a case like that, that's...
It's true, but actually Maria doesn't know whether she doesn't have the coronavirus too. I'm sorry now, but it's true.
And that's how we have to think.
Yeah, and that's how we have to think. You know, that she's right, that's her normal symptom, but at any given time, any one of us could be carrying this.
Okay. Do you have any thoughts on the best disinfectant to use? I don't know if you're a good cleaner or not.
Jay's flute. No, I'm going back to my mother's days now. No, I don't have any advice on that. I think, you know, again, cleanliness. I think, you know, the antibacterial wipes are handy if you're out and about or if you're in a workplace. But generally, you know, it goes back to soap and water and our kind of your whatever you use to mop your floors. But, you know, it doesn't have to be. This isn't deep clean kind of desanitized thing. It is actually just about being sensible.
My GP diagnosed a chest infection yesterday and told me to go to work as a home care for the elderly. I'm not well. What do I do?
Stay at home.
That's straight up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just look after yourself. There's no two ways about it. And look after others, considering the work that you're doing as well. Thank you, Texter, for being in touch. And I'll just finish with one, and I think I'm going to answer this one.
Okay.
It's natural that people will be scared and demanding. Dr. Finch should realise this and not be criticising people. I'm going to say that in the way that you told your story about what people are saying on the phones, that you were moderating language quite a lot. Is that a fair assumption?
It is. And I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm being critical, but really...
Things went a lot further than what you're saying on
absolutely,
here.
Yeah.
And in those instances, you can be scared, you can be worried, you can be concerned, and that will come out in your tone of conversation and how you deal with people, but, you know, we can all be polite as well.
Yeah.
Actually, one last one. I knew there'd be another one. Somebody who needs to renew a regular prescription in the next couple of weeks, what should they do?
Well, what we're doing is that we're taking the phone call, we're sorting out the prescription, give it time to be done, we're sending it to the pharmacy, and you collect it at the pharmacy. But again, I am aware that that's putting a lot of pressure and footfall in the pharmacies too, so there may be issues around that. They may want to post it out to you. I'm not sure how they'll react. So maybe call the pharmacy about it.
Call your GP in the first instance.
Yes.
And actually, Mary says she's in her 70s. Is it okay for her to go to the pharmacy?
Well, she certainly is okay to go to the pharmacy as long as she kind of adheres to the rules about social distancing, which you can do, you know, and you can use the hand sanitizer to make sure you're not putting anybody around you at risk. But the pharmacies may want to put in their own measures in place here, because I know they're very under pressure as well at the moment.
Okay. And look, at maybe somebody else can pick it up. You can make a phone call and all that sort of stuff. Our texter who's wondering, will I get paid if I get stayed at home? We can't answer that, but you do have to look after your health and you have to make your own decision.
You know, this is where the personal and moral responsibility comes in. You know, sometimes there are more important things. So
it's up to yourself. We have to make our own decisions. You said that last week.
Yeah.
And that'll be the case going forward. Dr. Finn, we appreciate your time. I know it's very
busy. You're welcome.
Thank you very much for joining us. If you've got concerns about your own health at this time and always, please do go to your own GP.